Well, today we have some guest missionaries joining us, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves in a moment. But David and Christy Donye, who've been a part of our church for quite a while now, and David's parents, Mel and Lynette, are heading off to Africa. They have been in Africa as missionaries in the past, and they are returning. And it's great to be able to have you two join us this morning. So I will turn over the mic to Mel and Lynette, if you would like to come up. And
thank you. It's great to be with you. I believe this is our second. I think we've only been here one other time. It was COVID, so it feels like three or four times. But we were here some years ago to visit, and just a privilege to be able to come back and to see Pastor Joey. And Juanita, I think, is here. The last time I saw Juanita, she was elbow deep in chicken guts. So she is quite a worker, I can attest to. And I think you are there, too, working hard. So it's good to be family, even though we are distant cousins. It's good to be able to spend some time up here in God's country, Taylor County. Is that right? Yeah. We live in River Falls, Wisconsin, when we are not overseas. And so it's a great privilege. I'm part-time staff at our local church, where David was a youth leader some years ago, and Christy joined him later. And so it's good to be in the presence of family. I'm looking forward to fellowship lunch today, aren't you? And, well, I'm looking forward to the love offering, too, I'll just be honest. But fellowship dinner, I mean, come on. Food made by good Christian ladies, that's awesome. So we're going to have some time to share. But I'd like to invite my wife, Lynette, to come up. Lynette is a third-generation missionary. She'll be sharing some pictures of her grandparents and her parents. Lynette.
Hello. Oh, I have to have technology. Oof. Yeah. I'm going to stand on the side so I can see what's going on there. Yep, that's us. All right. And that quiet one is my granddaughter. She has a really delicate voice. You have to really listen because she whispers. All right. Oh, yes. Click. These are my grandparents, Paul and Helen Haig. They went over to South Africa in the early 50s when my dad was 12 years old. And they worked there and they're buried there. Mom and Dad, my mom and dad. Mom went over in the early 60s and married my dad in South Africa. And they were missionaries. The mission, South African Evangelistic Mission, that's the group we work with, was started almost 70 years ago. But God is always opening up new avenues of ministry, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that as we go on. And that's us. It is our honor and our privilege to be able to serve the Lord in South Africa. Mal and I went over in 1988 when our firstborn, our daughter, was only 2 months old, and David was born in South Africa, so watch out for him. But we are honored to be able to serve the Lord there. It's home. This is the presbytery, the SAM National Executive Council in the presbytery. You can barely see it, but the guy behind the podium is Stephen Frank. And he came to the Lord when he was just in his early teens, and he's now 71. And he's the moderator of the mission now because my parents have semi-retired over here. They came over in COVID and have never been able to go back due to my dad's health. So he is the new moderator there, and those are some of the pastors on the council. And my husband and I are over there primarily to train. We are teaching people. We have a program, three-course program called Jesus in Real Life. The first one is discipleship. The second one is boundaries and priorities, how our lives need to be in order so that God can bless in each area. And then the final one is the heartbeat of God, God's heart for global missions and for the local church. We're going to be adding some more courses as we go along. Just to let you know that South Africa has 11 official languages now. I don't know them all. I know Afrikaans, and that's about it. And a few greetings in Zulu. So, and South Africa seems to be a melting pot for so many people from some of the countries to the north, Zimbabwe, Zambia, Mozambique, Malawi. They're coming into South Africa. And so God is opening up brand new avenues of ministry to these people that are then able to minister to their own people back home. These are some of our Jesus in Real Life workshops. The first one was in an area called Hlahlwe, and that's in Zululand. It's actually owned by the Zulu king. The second picture there to the right on the top is in Gordon's Bay in Western Cape. The one bottom right is in Hanover, and the one on bottom left is a new church plant in Hanover. We were there to give this, to give the workshop of boundaries and priorities, and about 3 months after we were there, they started a new congregation. So we praise God for that. This is the workshop that we had was the basic discipleship training course. God laid on this pastor's heart, Mshali, a strong, strong desire to see the people in his community saved and to grow in their faith. And so his church has a strong emphasis on discipleship, on reaching the lost. And so we were there giving our discipleship course. And not too long after that, we saw that he is now having prayer walks around his community, praying around the areas that are troubled and praying for God's blessing on Christian shop owners and just really being a lighthouse in their community. Oh, yeah, just so. That fine giraffe, top left, that was on the side of the road, people. We're driving along. There's this giraffe just watching us as we drove by. It was fun. And then we went up to Mozambique. Now, in the past, we were never welcomed into Mozambique because, according to South African history, that was the place where a lot of terrorists came from. And so South Africans would not go there. But in the last few years, God has opened up 3 new congregations there, and we praise the Lord for that. You can just see these pictures of 3 buildings. They're in various forms of being built. One has the cement blocks, but no windows whatsoever on them. The middle one is nicely finished inside, but still no windows. The third one was made of tent that had holes on the top, cement blocks, reeds, whatever they could find. And people brought their own chairs to church for them to sit on. So that was kind of fun. We're also involved in emerging leaders, which is young adults reaching their own age group throughout the mission. So they hold rallies, they hold trainings throughout the country. And this just gives you a good idea of what's ahead for Mel and I. We're going to continue in training, education, and development. We have the Jesus in Real Life comes from the program called KTCT, Kingdom to Community Training. We also have a 3-year Bible college over there. And then, of course, the emerging leaders, like I said before. There's going to be lots of travel ahead of us, so we would really appreciate your prayers. And like I said, our desire is to train trainers so they can take the training to their own people in their native languages. I don't know all those languages, and I'm kind of old to be trying to learn some of them. So I'm going to, hopefully, between my husband and myself, we're going to train people to be able to train their own people. So we're excited about that. And we also are really believing God to open up more and more doors for us to equip leaders and for him to equip leaders to plant new congregations and to reach the lost. And that's Mel and I with our, yes, you may call them granddaughters. We call them the Grand Duchesses. And you've already heard one. The first one on the bottom left is Miss Abigail. Then there's our other granddaughter, Amira. And then the top one to the right is Miss Eleonora. They're the ones with the quiet voices, yes. All right, I'll hand it over to my hubby. God bless you. It's really an honor to be here with you.
Thank you. Yes. Well, as we say, it's just a joy to be able to spend some time with you. We are privileged to just have the door open to us. Pastor Joey spoke to me, and just it trust me, as a pastor, I know how hard it is when you only have, you know, maybe one or two times in the week to share what God has laid on your heart. To invite someone who you don't really know to come and do that is always fraught with peril. So, Pastor Joey, our prayers will be with you today that we'll keep it on track and not go too far afield from what you might have shared this morning. But it is good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen? It is good to be in the house of the Lord. This is a place where we can come and be Christ's community, where we can share together the life that he has given to us. How many of you are aware that there is so much fakeness and falseness in the world around about us? Is that fair to say? Some might say fake news. Some might say fake media. Some might say fake whatever. Whatever it is, I always love it when real people come together. And one of the things that Lynette was sharing about is Jesus in real life. That to me is what discipleship is. It's sharing Jesus in real life by living with people and being present, being open, being yourself. One of the things that you will maybe learn about me as we grow together in relationship is what you see is what you get. The bad news is what you see is what you get too. We don't deal in falseness. We don't deal in fake. We are very real. And I love the feeling of reality among you here this morning. So it's a pleasure to be with you. I want to share as we have a time of getting into the word this morning, I want to share with you what I think is one of the calls on God's heart. Lynette shared about the emphasis that we place on the kingdom and the local church. How many are glad to be part of a local church? It's great. I love the local church. I'm a pastor. I've been an elder. I love everything about the local church. But if the local church was all there was, it wouldn't be fulfilling what God is wanting to do in the kingdom. And finding a balance between the kingdom and the local church is extremely important, but it's also extremely difficult. As we travel around the country and around the world, we see people kind of going on one side or the other. They'll feel really good and really comfortable about the local church, or they'll feel really happy about the kingdom and what all God is doing outside in the mission field, and they're so excited about that. God wants our heart to be aligned with his heart. And his heartbeat is a balance between the local church and the kingdom of God. And so this morning I want to share with you a portion of scripture where Jesus is sending out his disciples. Let's take a moment though to pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege that it is to stand behind this pulpit. Lord, we recognize there have been great men and women who have paid the price to have this nice, warm building. And this place, Lord, we thank you for the legacy of those who have gone before. Lord, the gift of those who have given. We thank you for a pastor and his wife who have been called to come and have paid the price to come and are paying the price to be found faithful to this community. Lord, we pray your blessing upon every person that is involved in this congregation. Lord, as we share your word today, we pray that it would come with the full anointing of your Holy Spirit. We already know that you reside in your word. And so, Father, we invite you to make our hearts attentive, make our hearts aware, make our ears alert to what is being said. And all God's people said, amen. I'm going to share from John, the 10th chapter. Excuse me, I'm going to change that to Luke, the 10th chapter. That's how quick you got to be. You got to be Luke, especially when you get it wrong the first time. You got to be quick. So Luke, the 10th chapter, and we're going to look at the first few verses. It says, the Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. I want to just stop right there and just bring your attention to something that we don't often think about in the Gospels. But I want to open your eyes to see that Jesus was a strategist. He had strategy in mind. Yes, he was God's son. Yes, he was fully aware of who he was, but he also recognized that he was working with people that needed to know a plan. How many like to know what's happening next? That's why we have a church bulletin, right? Let us know what's happening next. So Jesus recognized that people need to know what's coming next. And so he said, I'm going to go into these cities. I'm going to preach. I'm going to lay hands on the sick. I am going to see people recover from demonic bondage. I'm going to bring them into liberty. But before he went out, he sent out disciples to go to those places. 72 by two, he sends them out. So there's strategy inherent. I want you not to be afraid of strategy. I want you not to be afraid of principles, of business ideals. I want you to be comfortable with the fact that God has given you a brain and he wants you to use it. Is that fair to say? Is that okay? Look, there's lots of people who don't want to use their brain. There's lots of people who don't want to engage their brain when, you know, they're just going through life. I believe God's people are called to be strategic. And so as you begin to see this community around you, and I know a little bit about what you have in mind for things, and I just applaud you for seeing opportunities and seizing them. I'm glad you've got a leader. I'm glad you've got a pastor. I'm glad you've got elders who see some strategy, who see some opportunities and are willing to engage in those things. It's a whole lot easier just to sit back and, you know, shut the door on a Sunday morning and say, well, we're here. But God is looking for people who will go out and be a difference, make a difference. He's looking for real people in doing real community in a real culturally appropriate way. So he sends 72 ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he plans to visit. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great. One of the things that brings me to Gilman and Hannibal and Jump River is the harvest at my daughter-in-law's house. She grows all sorts of good things. I don't know, is anything still in the ground? Probably some cabbages or some such. Nope. Onions for next year. See, she's strategizing about what next year is going to bring. The harvest is always on her mind. By the way, can I just share something? And I take a risk because I see so many red-haired people here today. But there are three things that I told my son as I raised him to be a man of God. I said, there's three things you need to look for in a woman. First, she can't be older than you. Why? Because older women are a little bit bossy. Is that fair? What? Oh, I'm getting the shake. She must love Jesus and never date a redhead. So what did he do? Two out of three ain't bad, I guess. She loves Jesus with her whole heart, and that makes all the difference. But we are always amazed by what she's harvesting. She's canning. She's dehydrating. She's baking. She's doing all these things. Harvest is on her mind. I want you at Christ Community this morning to have the harvest on your mind. Jesus said, the harvest is great. There's big things coming. There's big things happening. As you look around you today, you should take a little bit of pride in the fact that you are a survivor of a worldwide pandemic. So how does that make you feel? You survived a worldwide pandemic. You know, there are not that many people down through history who can say they survived a worldwide pandemic. And yet we are filled in this church with people who survived. Why are you here? You are here for the harvest. You are here for what is to come. You are here to pray. Jesus said, the harvest is great. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into the field. Now, those words in English kind of sound old-fashioned, maybe. But the word send forth is the same word that is used when Jesus cast out the demons from the demoniac and threw them into pigs. He sent the demons into the pigs. So it is with that level of passion, that level of authority, that level of expectation that we who are Christians should be praying to God to send forth laborers into the field. Your pastor cannot do it on his own. Your youth pastor, your youth, whoever you have doing whatever they do in this church is insufficient to the task of even a smaller community like Jump River. Because the harvest is great. But the laborers, Jesus said, the laborers, those who actually do the work, they're few. The harvest is great. The laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. I believe that's the cry of God's heart. He wants to send forth laborers. He wants people to go and do what he has called us to do, which is Jesus in real life. He's called us to represent Jesus in flesh and blood. We are the hands and the feet, the mouth, the beating heart of the living Christ. The Christ who is right now at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for us. We are his ambassadors, and our message is come. Come, know this God. Your Father is the heavenly Father. That means that he is the Father who is heavenly. He's the perfect one. He's not the one who sometimes gets a little angry and kicks the dog. He's not the father who sometimes comes home grumpy from work. He's none of those things. He is the Father who is heavenly. He's perfect in all of his ways. And we get to be his ambassadors. We are his children in covenant relationship with us, with him. And he has given to us the call to be his ambassadors. He calls us to go and be Jesus in real life, to show forth his goodness, his kindness, his mercy. When people get real divisive and real set in their ways, I sometimes wonder how good they are being, and I've done it myself, how good I am being in being an ambassador, because I don't know if you're aware, but ambassadors don't speak for themselves, do they? Ambassadors speak for the kingdom or the monarchy or the democracy that they represent. We must be careful to show forth the love, the grace, the mercy of a God who gave everything so that he could have a chance at a relationship with you. Jesus said, the harvest is great. It's plentiful. Lots of stuff. Lots of people to bring in. Lots of people to collect and to nourish and to nurture and to build up into a holy habitation, a household of God. The harvest is great, but the laborers, those who really want to work, those who really want to do some stuff, those are few. We've seen after this worldwide pandemic how few people really want to work sometimes. Is that okay to say? Is that fair? I live near the Twin Cities, and I am amazed how many job openings there are and how many people show up at the food line. And I'm thinking, the laborers are few. God is calling, and he's talking to you, and he's talking to me, and he says, listen, you've been saved for such a time as this. You have been surviving a post-pandemic world. You've been brought through the worst of what COVID had to offer. May I politely ask you the question, why? Why did God save you? Why are you here when so many good people are not necessarily here anymore. And that's not to say that you're not inherently good. I believe you are. I believe God loves you, but I think he has a plan for your life. And it's not just to be content with Christ's community church. Is that fair to say? I think it's to be very content with Christ's community church when you are here and when you are fellowshipping and when you are sharing together. And by the way, we are going to have fellowship lunch. We're looking forward to it. Those things are all good. But he wants us to raise our eyes beyond the fellowship. He wants us to raise our eyes above the community of believers and begin to engage in this preparation for a harvest, which is great. Jesus said, the harvest is great. Therefore, pray. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth. That sending forth, as I said, is a more powerful, more passionate word than just, you know, God just saying, hey, you go there. No, he's grabbing a hold of people and saying, you go there. I want you to go there. That's what Lynette and I experienced a couple of years ago as God transitioned our former moderator off of the stage in South Africa in a time of COVID. And we thought, you know, everything was going to be fine. This guy was a great guy. He had a young man, 52 years of age. We were very happy and content. My boss came to me one day and he said, look, the whole division is shutting down. You have a choice. We'll move you and give you a relocation bonus and all this stuff. We'll move you to Houston. Now, listen, I like the South about as much as anybody, but there was no way that this Nana was going to leave these babies to go to Houston. So he says, so if you don't want to do that, here's what we'll do. We'll give you an early retirement. There are no more sexy words in the English language than early retirement. Well, there's maybe a few more, but that's among them. You're going to pay me not to come to work? I'll sign up for that program twice a day. And so we thought we were going to be able to sit back. Lynette was a teacher, has her master's in English education, teaching English to speakers of other languages. And we thought we were just going to have a great retirement life. But God said, no, I'm going to send you into the fields because they're white unto harvest. I want you to go. Whatever you are doing, whatever you are planning, whatever you think life will be, may I challenge you to give the Lord a little gap to allow you to be sent. As if he needs our permission, he doesn't. But if we keep away from entanglements that will keep us from being able to go, we will find ourselves able to be sent. The harvest is great, Jesus said. Therefore, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers. I'm telling you, church, Christ community, that is one thing you can do. No matter what your status in life is, no matter where you're at in life, whether you're just getting into the workforce, whether you're going to school, no matter where you're at, you may not be able to go, but you can pray that the Lord of the harvest thrust people into the harvest. And then, don't be surprised if that's your continual prayer. Don't be surprised if he's going to give you opportunities to be sent as well. And sometimes those are really convenient, and sometimes they're not so convenient. But if you are obedient to God, you will always say, yes, Lord, here I am. Send me. I may not have all the skills. I may not have all the resources. I may not understand all the big picture. But Lord, to the degree that I can, I'm willing to say, yes, I will go. Yes, I will do. Yes, I will obey. I will be responsive when you say go. And when you thrust me into the harvest, I will say, I will go. Amen. Are you with me this morning? How many are hungry? just now, just in a moment. But allow me to close this portion with just a word of prayer. And Father, we just are so grateful for this congregation. We're so thankful for the leaders here. We thank you for this opportunity. We don't take it lightly. Lord, we ask that you would bless this congregation, this community of believers. Lord, help us each one to recognize that it's not just about us, though. It's not just about Christ's community church, but it's also about the harvest. It's also about the kingdom. Help us to have hearts that are aligned with the calling of your Holy Spirit upon your church, your body, your bride. Lord, may we not be just so comfortable that we fail to see those who are going on around us to a godless eternity. Help each one of us, Lord, to be willing to pray, and then when asked to go, when compelled to go, may we go. And Father, we pray that you would give us the grace and the insight and the wisdom to know what is your calling versus our thought that you might be calling us someplace. Give us your wisdom. Give us your grace. May we not shrink back in this time of harvest. All God's people said, amen. God bless you today.